Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this beautiful Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a big game tonight at Bridgestone Arena between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. And to help us talk a little bit more about the Dallas Stars, we bring in our good friend Sean Shapiro from The Athletic. Sean, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not bad. So, Sean, obviously the Stars have had a ton of success against the Predators as of late. They've won both games this year, won in six games in the first round of the playoffs last season. Why do you think the Stars have matched up so well against Nashville as of late?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's that first matchup. I kind of throw out that first matchup going all the way back to the fact when Dallas had a different coach, Nashville had a different coach. I guess even the last matchup, Nashville had a different coach. So, but you take a look at how these teams match up, and you look at what Dallas does, and I think the thing the Stars have been able to do really well against Nashville is they've been able to stifle the Predators and get things and shut things down. And I think I've seen Nashville get frustrated. By how things have, how they haven't been able to get the quality chances. They haven't been able to get up and moving against Dallas. And that's what Dallas has done to a lot of teams. We've seen them do it to Colorado. They went and they swept the season series against the Avalanche this year. So I think it's just kind of the Stars' defensive game and how they lock things down has really worked well against the Predators so far.
Yeah, Sean, you mentioned the Stars' defensive game. We were talking earlier about the Stars, and you know, you look at the stats, and it's kind of jarring. Some of these guys who have had massive production in the past, really the numbers aren't there individually offensively, but obviously the defensive and goaltending numbers are exceptional for this team. Is that a style change, or is it just how this year has worked out?
I think it's, I mean, the Stars, the defensive prowess is a style thing. It's systemic. It's just kind of how they looked last year under Jim Montgomery too. And so the defensive prowess is a style thing. The lack of goal scoring and the lack of production, that's more so, that's actually a concern. That's not intentional. They don't want, like, Alexander Radulov has gone 12 games without a goal so far, and that's not even the worst drought of the year. Tyler Seguin went 17 games without a goal earlier this season. So it's a thing where you look at the Stars and you look at, I believe, I'm not sure based off last night, but heading into yesterday, they were 29th in the league. If you look at natural stat trick, high danger shooting percentage, they don't finish well. They don't. They're getting better chances lately, but they're not a high scoring team with these guys, and that's kind of surprising. Obviously, with these big names, the biggest issue, when you take a look at it, is just why aren't they finishing? Is it something that is it really a? I have a hard time blaming a system when you're looking at where these guys are and where they aren't finishing. It's just kind of an odd, bizarre thing to look at with in a year where Alexander Radulov can go a dozen games without a goal, Seguin goes 17 games without a goal, Jamie Benn went 13 games without a goal. All of those things that happen in the same year, and then for Dallas to keep winning games, actually that's probably the most remarkable thing about all of this, is that they've had those droughts and they're winning games and they're going to be a top three team in the Central. And it's a real, obviously, testament to what their defensive, to how good that defensive game is for them.
Sean Shapiro from The Athletic covers the Dallas Stars on the line with us. And, Sean, obviously the Stars had a big free agent signing this past summer. Joe Pavelski comes in at 38 goals last year with the Sharks, just 14 so far this year with the Stars. How would you describe kind of the way he's fit into the lineup in Dallas?
I would split it into two different halves of the season. And really, it's kind of the – I would call it right around January 15th, 16th, mid-January is when things really started to click for Pavelski. The first half of the year was rough for him. He wasn't fitting in. The Stars weren't. He and the Stars are still trying to figure out how he fit because he spent so long in San Jose. He spent so long doing the same thing, playing with the same guys particularly on the power play, that there was kind of a natural learning curve they had to fight through. And so I think they finally kind of got through that learning curve in January. And in the last month and a half, he's been really good. Actually, he's looked like the player they went out and they thought they were getting in free agency. The goal totals have kind of come back up. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he's got the scoring at a 38 goal pace clip more so in the last 10, 15 games. And the other thing that he's done really, he's now fitting in on the power play. He's being a little bit more versatile on the power play with them as well. If you're looking at the first half of the year, it's definitely something that would have been a disappointment. But if you had a little bit of patience with it, and I think the Stars did, especially considering it was a three-year signing, it's looking like it's going to be a right fit. And obviously one of the big reasons they got Pavelski was, can they score more goals in the playoffs? And that's where this signing will be the true buster, boomer bust.
Sean, Khudobin and Bishop, outstanding numbers. How good have they been this year?
They've been really good. The fact that Ben Bishop has dealt with a little bit of an ailment lately and has struggled a little bit, I think mainly because of dealing with kind of the nagging effects of that lower body injury. The fact that Anton Khudobin is there made it, he basically kind of ignored the. He's been allowed to ignore the fact that they've been missing a goalie that for most of the year looks like he was going to be a Vezina Trophy finalist. So. Khudobin has leads the league in save percentage now. One of the things that's in, so it's, I don't even like calling it a 1A, 1B, which it really is a 1A, 1B because of the games played, but it's a tandem. It's a tandem that pushes each other now. Khudobin is someone who, when he comes in, he has a chance, he gives the Stars a chance to win every game. And obviously, I think you guys have seen up close what he's done in Nashville in the past. He obviously has had some really good games in Nashville. Bishop's coming off was dealing with the injury last game, so I would imagine we'll probably see Khudobin tonight. But there's a good chance we'll see both goalies in this kind of two game step between the two teams. And right now, there's no drop off either. There's really no drop off either way, no matter who's in net.
Sean, last thing for you here. Obviously, the Preds and Stars met in the playoffs last season, met in the Winter Classic earlier this year. How do Stars fans view the rivalry with the Predators now that everything they've been through the last year or so?
I think it's kind of I think Nashville, to me, for Stars fans, if the Predators have that chance to be that real rival that the Stars have never really had in their franchise history, because there's been every other team that could be a rival that fits with the Stars hasn't been a reciprocal rival back, if that makes any sense. For example, obviously, I think right now you can make the case, obviously, the St. Louis Blues and the Stars have a good rivalry after they've met in the playoffs a couple times in the past 4 years. But the Blues, obviously, I don't think the Blues look at the Stars as their rival. I think kind of the fact that Nashville and Dallas both look at each other as similar markets, similar teams, teams that both kind of have grown the game in their respective cities and have been able to kind of grow this rivalry organically. And obviously that's why these two teams played in the Winter Classic. I think that Nashville could be the long-term best rival for Dallas, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think vice versa goes for Nashville, and I think fans realize that too, and obviously the playoff series helped, the Winter Classic helped, and I think just kind of the combination of these two games is kind of just kind of push that. Just I love this kind of home at home over the course of 3 days, obviously in Nashville tonight, and then afternoon game on Saturday. It should set up well, and obviously for both teams coming off, Dallas has lost three in a row, two of those, and they've gotten a point in two of those, but in Nashville coming off some of their recent losses, should be kind of a fun atmosphere, and obviously, I mean, you guys, and should be a heated a little bit, too.
Sean Shapiro from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Sean, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sean.
Absolutely. It is interesting to kind of watch the evolution of this rivalry really over the course of the last 12 months. Like, you know, the playoff series, obviously, that helps, and that's where you basically start rivalries in the NHL. But then you add on the Winter Classic to it. It feels to me like, you know, the Blackhawks rivalry with the Predators, you know, that was kind of building and building and building for a while. Playoff series helped that. Detroit was one when they first came in the league that basically just kind of built over time. I feel like the Stars rivalry has come on very, very quickly. And it's one of those ones where you, like, sometimes there's rivalries between the fans. Like, you can watch the Predators and Blackhawks play, and I think there's a distaste there, but you don't ever really get the sense that the Predators and the Blackhawks just hate each other out there. I get a pretty good sense that the Stars and the Predators players, they don't like each other whatsoever. And to me, those are the most fun rivalries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Corey Perry being on their team automatically juices up the rivalry. I guess, honestly, though, I know they had the one playoff series. It's interesting, Sean, what Sean said about it. It's basically like the Stars have trouble finding a team, you know, that looks at them as a rival.
Yeah.
Like, I still think, and this is just me from the outside looking in, that, like, the Blackhawks and the Blues bring more juice. And I think with, like, the Red Wings and Blackhawks, those are two franchises that the Predators were chasing in Detroit, right? That's a little different than now. This is like, so all of a sudden the Stars now have passed the Predators when for a few years the Predators, you know, were performing better. But, yeah, I mean, if you've got enough nastiness on the ice, that's a good way to make a rivalry better. And these two teams definitely have that.
We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Where do the Stars fit in terms of the pantheon and the pecking order of the Predators' rivals? We'll also look ahead at tonight's big game. Dan Muse, Predators' assistant coach, scheduled to join us at 7:30. We'll be right back to talk about the big matchup tonight between the Predators and the Stars here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. And, Joe, we just had Sean Shapiro of The Athletic on. By the way, Dan Muse, Predators assistant coach, scheduled to join us at 7:30 for Coffee with the Coach. But Sean Shapiro was talking about how Stars fans kind of view the rivalry with the Nashville Predators, a playoff series last year, Winter Classic earlier this year. And basically Sean said that I think the Predators have the ability and the chance to become the main rival that the Stars have kind of been looking for years now. I don't know if I would put Dallas as the Preds' main rival right now. I mean, there are a lot of options over the course of the last few years. I mean, obviously the Blackhawks, I think, may be the first team that comes to mind for most Preds fans.
We're just blowing off the Jets now. The Jets are just
– we actually had
remember,
a text.
Like, I mean, that was, you know, that was going to be the great rivalry.
Yeah, we had a text come in that says, don't forget about the Winnipeg Jets and the way that, you know, I thought when they met in the playoffs – a couple years ago, that was going to be the first of like five consecutive meetings in the playoffs.
So
I thought that was going to be the next big thing in the division. You know how
it
seems like the Capitals and the Penguins play each other every year in the playoffs. I thought that was going to be the thing. Preds and Jets like every year. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Although both of them are right there.
Well, that's the thing. They're together still. It's just that they've both fallen, you know. And
right.
So now they're right on the bubble together. So I guess you could still look at it like they're tight rivals. But, yeah, I'd love to know how Preds fans would actually rate the rivals, how they feel
like,
about.
Do we think the Preds, like, just like Preds fans just hate the Dallas Stars. I don't know if they're quite there yet.
Again, like every time you see Corey Perry's face on TV,
right,
it increases the hate quotient a little bit. So his presence alone and what he did to Ryan Ellis, which has impacted where the Preds are, by the way.
Yeah.
That helps if you want to juice up a rivalry. But I don't know. I mean, I know that, you know, Dallas beat him in the playoffs, but that still felt more like oh my gosh, look at the downward trajectory of the Preds. What's going on? No forwards did anything other than Rocco Grimaldi. Like, it was more about like the Preds' failures than it was like, oh, those Stars. Like when Winnipeg beat the Preds, that was like 7-game epic, crazy series. Road teams dominated, but that was more like, we'll be back and see the Jets
again. Yeah,
last year
bringing the same group back, and we're going to see you again.
And last year it was more like, what's going on with the Preds? And some Laviolette needs to be fired, which of course I was like, he's not getting fired anytime soon. So didn't take as long as not nearly as long as you would have thought. But I don't know. The more you do play, I mean, look, what about Colorado?
Yeah,
I mean, Colorado and the Preds had a pretty. I mean, is there a playoff series that isn't testy?
No.
I mean,
not a good one anyway.
You go through several games, see the same team every night. I can't remember coming off a playoff series and saying, man, those teams are really good, nice to each other. And
They like each other. Just very cordial out there.
It was very Lady Bings all around.
Yeah.
You know?
No, Having dinner together after the game.
Yeah.
The most fun rivalry they've ever had. You know, Preds fans that have been around for a long time, they don't like Detroit.
Yeah.
They don't like Chicago. By far the most fun rivalry they've ever had, Anaheim. I mean, it absolutely.
No doubt.
That series in 2017 especially, and all the back and forth between Johansson and Ryan Kesler, I loved every second of it.
It's not
the same anymore. Kessler's not playing. Corey Perry's not there. He's now with Dallas. Getzlaf is still there. But some of those guys that were there and were a big part of that rivalry, it's just not quite the same, and Anaheim sucks now, so that also doesn't help.
Right.
But that rivalry was, in my opinion, the most fun one they've ever had because they hated each other on the ice, and it was palpable.
And you had two straight years where the Preds beat the Ducks, you know, in a playoff series, a 7-gamer and a 6-gamer. But, yeah, mostly it was about just the personalities.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly it was about Johansson and Kesler. But then when you add in the Corey Perry, who's sort of like his – little buddy who does dirty stuff all the time. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to top that. But it's just so short-lived. Can you have one that, like the Wings and the Blackhawks, those are those long-term. But again, that's also relative to how those teams were formed over time and what the Preds are trying to get to.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of rivalry.
It is. And I do think Dallas has the potential to be, I'm not going to say like Anaheim. I mean, maybe Corey Perry's there, so maybe he does have a little bit of potential to be like Anaheim.
You got the Radulov angle there, too. You know, he was here.
Yeah.
And you know, there's
that,
a little
helps.
Bit of that.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's like Ryan Suter.
Right.
Who gets booed every time he touches the ice in Nashville, touches the puck in Nashville.
Got a text in on the text line that says, in the East, Pittsburgh is still a sour taste. It is. No question. From the Stanley Cup final, I think a lot of people, there's some bitterness there. The problem with that one is you only see them once a year at home and twice a year total. So it's hard to really get something built up over time, I think, in that one.
It's special when they play.
Yeah.
Like it feels like a bigger game. And some of that is just what the Penguins have achieved. But that was a feisty, fierce series. Also, though, you know, PK Subban was the one spearheading all that stuff with Crosby, and now he's gone. So that diminishes that a little bit, too.
It does, but
it's got to be someone on your side.
Well, the other part of it is, like, if you're the Preds, like, in order to really make it a rivalry going, like, you got to start beating them. Like, Stars have just kind of whooped you as of late, and you got to find a way to fix that. And obviously, they got a great opportunity to do that starting tonight against the Stars, play again on Saturday in Dallas. This is a huge game tonight. The standings are so tight. Arizona wins last night. They move up to 74 points. Winnipeg at 74 as well. Winnipeg Jets hold the second wild card spot. Vancouver in the first wild card spot. They also have 74. So the Preds are 2 points behind the two wild card teams. Minnesota plays tonight in San Jose. They've got 73 points. So you're the Predators, especially at home. Like, you got to find a way to come away with some points in this one. And like you said yesterday, I think he'd probably be happy with 2 points out of these next two games. I mean, just based on the way things have gone against Dallas as of late, if you can get 2 points,
you've got to
feel like
you're
okay.
Yeah. I mean, you've got two. Again, the games in hand are starting to diminish, but you've got 2 on the Jets, and they're 2 points ahead of you. You've got 2 on the Coyotes. They're 2 points ahead of you. You're still in decent position here. Yeah, but you have to. I don't know if you're happy with 2 points in these two games, but
keeps
you've got to get them. You're about to go on the road. Now, granted, this team has a better road record than a home record, but you've got to get that. And to the rivalry point, games this important back to back against a team, seeing, you know, that's a potential rivalry, a rivalry jump starter here, because, you know, the Stars too, they've lost 3 straight. Really, they have been chasing the Blues, trying to win the Central. They're not out of that yet. They got a game in hand, but they're 8 points behind. You lose 3 straight, and that's a lot of ground to lose here in March. Very important for them too, but certainly they're 6 behind the Avs, so they're fighting for at least, you know, to get up in the standings. Really important games for them too.
And you talked yesterday about, you know, the Stars have lost 3 straight. Maybe you feel like they come in and they're not playing quite to the level we've seen them play at in the past. I think the other part of that could be you can pretty much guarantee they're going to come out and bring a strong effort tonight. Now, maybe the execution's not there, but they're going to be ready to play. And if you're the Predators, it sounds crazy to say this, but you have to make sure you match that. It seems like that would be a no-brainer this time of year, but as we've seen and as we've heard from comments from John Hines, that has not always been the case with this Predators group lately.
Yeah, and it's like effort, okay, I think want to, I think those are there. But the big thing,
although he did say the effort was not there
well,
on Monday.
That's true. I mean, the big thing was looking for an easy game. You know, that still stands out to me among his postgame comments. But I still, like, it's like effort, okay, there's effort, and then there's go do the thing that's uncomfortable that you have to do if you want to give yourself a better chance to win. You can skate hard, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, be work up a sweat,
yeah.
And, you know, you, quote, gave effort, but it's got to be more than that.
When we come back, Predators assistant coach Dan Mews scheduled to join us for Coffee with the Coach. We'll get into tonight's game against the Dallas Stars with him. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. A big one tonight for the Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena. And to help us talk about that a little bit more, we bring in Predators assistant coach Dan Mews. Dan, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. So, Dan, obviously a big game tonight against the Stars. How would you kind of describe the rivalry you guys have developed with the Dallas Stars over the course of the last 12 months or so?
Yeah, I mean, this is it's a good hockey team over there. And obviously between the playoffs and then this year, the game we had here at home, which we weren't happy with, and obviously the Winter Classic as well, which left a bad taste in the mouth. This is a game that I think should be pretty easy to get up for. You know, we're also coming off of 2 games here where we're not happy with the results, not happy with the play. So this is obviously a big game here. I think every game this time of year ends up being pretty big.
Yeah, Dan, you mentioned not happy with the results last couple of games. I think especially last game, Monday night, you know, John Hines had some pretty strong words just overall about, you know, effort. And I guess the quote we were just talking about, you know, a team, quote, looking for an easy game. My question for you is, you know, in the aftermath of that, I know you guys watch a lot of video. How much of this is, you know, I guess identifying individuals in that, saying like, you need to do this better or that better, or is it more, you know, a collective, analysis of a game like that?
I wouldn't say it's just that game. I think that's always the analysis that we're going to go into after a game, whether it's a game that you're really happy with how you played as a team and happy with how each individual played, or it's a game where, you know, you're not happy with the results, you're not happy with the overall team game. You're always looking at both. You're looking at what can we be doing as a collective group from a systematic standpoint, just overall play. And then you're also looking at it from, you know, what can individuals be doing better? What did they do well? What do we want to continue to encourage? What do we want to work on with them at an individual standpoint? So I think that post-game analysis that you're going to have really at any point of the year in any of the games is always going to be broken down from a team standpoint and from an individual standpoint.
Do you find sometimes that the initial first blush thought of what you just saw on the ice is different after you look at the video? And was this game, did you guys feel the same way about this game that you did right after it Monday?
Usually the video looks a lot like how the game looked live. Sometimes there will be things, especially from an individual standpoint, that you might pick up on after watching the game. It's a game that we lost 8-3. We weren't happy with the results. We weren't happy with the, especially the way we played in the third period. There's some areas there that we addressed after the game. Obviously, it was a quick turnaround going to Minnesota, and some of those things I think were addressed, but again, weren't happy with the outcome of that one either.
Predators assistant coach Dan Muse on the line with us. And Dan, one guy who's been really consistent all season long has been Roman Josi. He broke the franchise record for points by a defenseman in a season the other night against Minnesota, a record that he already held. Anyway, I guess, how would you describe the season that Roman Josi has had for you guys?
Outstanding. I mean, it's game in, game out. With Roman, it's every day. It's not just what you guys are seeing in games too. It's the way he practices. It's the way he prepares. He's a guy who every time he steps on the ice, he's looking to make a positive difference in the team's game. And I can't think of really too many, never mind games, but even shifts that you could say he's taken off. He's always going, and that's part of who he is as a player. You know, the type of season he's having right now, in terms of production, in terms of impact on the game, I mean, it's not a surprise when you see what he does on a daily basis, in terms of just how he works, how he prepares. So it's, he's been outstanding every game for us.
Dan, we've been talking about the Stars and, you know, maybe some of the individual offensive production, not what it has been for some of their star players, but overall just fantastic goaltending, you know, defensive numbers. Why are they so difficult to, you know, to create chances against and get into those hard areas against?
Well, I think they're a good structured team. I think that's part of their game plan is, you know, they really work to make sure that they have numbers back. They work to make sure that they keep things to the outside. In terms of creating odd man rushes or creating just situations where you have, you know, a numerical advantage, I think they do a good job of limiting those. That's not just against us. That's against, you know, every time when you watch them play. I think they have a combination, too, in terms of how they're built with speed there up front, and they also have size. So it's a combination that makes it difficult to get to the inside. But that being said, that's what you have to do. You know, it's a big part of, I think, when you're playing a team like Dallas, it's finding a way to get there into the inside, to get to their net front, to get inside position on their defenders. And once you're there, making sure that you're staying there. And then on the flip side of it, they're a big team. They're a heavy team. It's making sure that you're keeping them to the outside.
Dan, last thing for you here. The penalty kill seems like it's improving a lot as of late in the last 5 to 10 games or so. What are you seeing on the penalty kill that's allowing it to be more successful, do you think?
Well, I think I think a big thing that you saw last game, and that I think you've seen over, you know, the last 20 or so games, is we're blocking more shots. I think last game we had 11 blocks. Obviously, we killed more penalties than we'd like to, and especially in a game like that where you're coming from behind. But the guys did a good job. Nick Bonino, Jared Tenori, Ryan Ellis, all those guys had multiple block shots there in the last game. When John Hines came in here, there was some adjustments that we made to the penalty kill, some ideas that he had. And, I think it's taken, you know, it takes a little bit of time, like everything systematically, to make some of those adjustments and to make some changes. I think you're starting to see guys comfortable in terms of the structure that we're looking to play with. And then with that, you know, I think you're seeing more sacrifice with the block shots. And I think you're seeing more detail in the way we go out there and execute.
Predators assistant coach Dan Muse has been our guest here on Coffee with the Coach on Morning Drive. Dan, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us, and good luck tonight against the Stars.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. It is interesting when you watch, you know, kind of when you're watching a game live, you have an opinion about the way the game is, and then you go back and look at it. I think we have found in the past that maybe it looks different at times, but most of the time I agree with what he said there. What you see live and what you see on film, a lot of times it's the same. And then at that point as a coach, it's about, okay, how do you take that information and get it through to the players in order to correct what problems you're seeing? And to John Hines' credit, I mean, he hasn't been afraid, I think, to have those conversations with these players. Now, the players need to do a much better job of responding on a much more consistent basis than they have so far this year.
Yeah, I think it depends on the sport, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's annoying after every football game to hear everybody say, I got to look at the film.
Got to look at the film.
It's 11 on 11. It's a much bigger space. And so then there's a lot of things that you aren't going to see from your vantage point. You know, I think in hockey and basketball, you know, you're there in real time. You're right on top of it.
Five on five, baby.
And to Dan's point, when it's 8-3, like, you know,
it is what
the
it
analysis
is.
Probably isn't going to change a ton.
No, it's not, especially in that third period. So thanks to Dan Muse for coming on with us there. I mean, it's just such a big game. And he mentioned it. We talked about how difficult it is to get to the interior of the ice against the Stars. They've done really good at defending that area of the ice. I mean, I think they've swept Colorado this year. We know how dangerous of a team Colorado can be offensively. They're very good at getting to the middle of the ice. Nathan MacKinnon specifically, very good in that area. If you're the Predators, it's going to be a challenge, but you've got to find a way. That's when it's, you know, if Johansson's able to go, it's up to him. Forsberg, he's a big guy that can use his size. You got to find a way to just lower your head and get through there. And sometimes, like you mentioned earlier, that's going to be the uncomfortable thing to do. But at this time of year, I mean, you got to be willing to pay that price.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference between effort and doing what John Hines talks about, which is the tough things that give you opportunities. Maybe this will be maybe like Johansson coming off the illness, like a Michael Jordan game for him or something.
Maybe.
You know? A little chicken soup.
Yeah, we've seen that
he
before.
He needs something to you know, kind of get him going. They certainly need him in the lineup tonight.
Got a text on the text line that says the Preds have a 28% chance of making the playoffs, according to Money Puck. That's a website. Insane. It is insane. Now, I will say this. This time last week on Money Puck, I think it was like a 57% chance. So they fluctuate a lot terms of the percentages this time of year, especially when the standings are as close as they are.
So I mean, is that some subjectivity just in terms of how they're playing too?
Well, there's some of that. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, analytics are involved in that. The schedule remaining, how many games in hand you have. Like, there's a ton that goes into that formula. But like I said, right now especially, like that fluctuates so much. I start paying attention to that, to the stuff like that, really closely. About 10 games left, 10, yeah. 9, 10 games left. Then that's what gives you because the games in hand at that point are starting to shrink. Everybody's played around the same amount of games at that time. And that's when it's like, okay, what does, you know, Winnipeg's schedule look like? Are they playing, you know, upper echelon teams in the Western Conference, or are they playing against, you know, the Anaheim Ducks? Like that a lot of that gets factored into it the last week or so as well, is like the strength of schedule down the stretch.
But see, the problem with that, like for example with the Preds, is like you'd actually it should be a benefit to their percentage if they're playing better teams.
Yeah, it should, just based on the way this team has gone. You gotta feel like they're due to break through against Dallas, right? Like at some point, because they've just been totally handled by them in pretty much every matchup as of late. Like, even the matchups in the playoffs they won last year, Game 3, Dallas dominated that
yes.
game. And it was just one of those things where Pekka Rinne stole
it. Was unbelievable, really, multiple times in that series.
Yeah. I mean, he was.
And wasn't that long ago.
You look at the numbers, and they're not great for Rinne in that series, but I don't think, like, when we're listing off problems in that series against the Stars, he's not near the top of my list.
Well, Game 6, he was outrageous.
Yeah.
which, of course, goes to overtime. I mean, only because of him.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. When we come back, the SEC basketball tournament is next week here in our city, and you could pretty much throw a dart at the board of a team that could win it, and you might have the best chance to be right. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Munson bringing us back in with a little JT.
I'll tell you who's
hard to
not.
Go wrong
there's
there.
A celebrity we have.
Yeah, that is.
Does that
there
count for us?
There is the Titans tamperer right there. Justin Timberlake. He's got a house here.
That's not a bad idea.
Count? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, he's a Memphis guy, but he has a house here, so it's fine.
Now, in fairness, where does he not have a house? Like, he's got to have one several different places, I would imagine.
That's probably true. Vail. I'll just throw that out as a guess.
Ooh, Vail.
Some beach.
Somewhere.
If he offers Brady, like, if he signs to the Titans, I will sing that song to your kids at least once a month.
Well, now
wow,
I'm rooting for it.
That's
even
appealing.
More. Yes, it
that's
is.
Appealing.
And that just gets you fired up.
But speaking of dancing, Alabama basketball, definitely not dancing.
Oh, wow. Look
definitely
at
not dancing.
You just told me before the show started you think they could win
if they,
the tournament.
They're going to have to win the tournament because they're not
going. We know that.
They're not going otherwise.
No, we know that.
They're out.
You don't lose to Vanderbilt and then make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Unless you're LSU, I guess.
You know how they have, like, you know how when they show, like, during the bracketology, when they, like, release the brackets, they got, like, key wins and key losses?
Yeah.
When they show Alabama, I want them to put in, like, big letters, not just, like, small, the normal size font letters that they put on there. I want them to put in bold letters, Vandy on Alabama.
Yeah, buddy.
Just put the big anchor up there.
Exactly. Because that's what they did in Coleman Coliseum, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's
It's wide open.
There are a few locks in this league.
It's right wide now. Open in the SEC. And look, you look at the tournament coming to our city next week at Bridgestone Arena. Obviously a great venue for the tournament. I think we all enjoy heavily the SEC tournament coming here. But I have no idea what's going to happen here next week. I mean, there's not an elite team in the SEC. Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, they've all had good seasons, but have all shown some warts at time as well. Kentucky just lost to the Vols. LSU has lost to Vanderbilt this year. Auburn was down 17 to the Vols. They've been up and down.
And lost at home to Texas
A&M
last night. Lost
at A&M last night. I mean, there's just – it's so difficult, I think, to predict what's going to happen here next week, which, number one, I think is exciting. But, number two, you look at the SEC this year and you're just like, man, that's just not a very good basketball conference right now.
Yeah, it's still better than it was 3 years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and it was a problem. It was bad basketball, and it's still a much better league than that now. A lot of the programs are much better, but it's been a disappointing year for a lot of teams. You probably start with Tennessee, even though a lot of that is, you know, stuff out of Tennessee's control. But that was a team that, you know, started out the year ranked, and I don't think people thought they'd be in this position right now at the end. Also didn't think Lamonte Turner would be gone and some of the other things that have happened. But basically this league has – I still think Kentucky could be elite. I think Kentucky, you know, that was a great comeback for the Vols, and it was a bad last 10 minutes for Kentucky, and they let teams hang around too often. But they're going to be a 2 or a 3 seed. And I think that team could make a run with the way Emmanuel Quickley has come on. You know, Maxie's such a just shot maker. And then obviously the bigs, Nick Richards is a great player. Auburn is, I mean, they're 16-1 at home. They're one losses to Texas A&M.
Yep.
It's bizarre. But obviously Auburn and LSU are in. I think Florida is in. And then you've got a whole bunch of, you got some teams on the bubble and you got some teams, and I think Tennessee now fits in that category, and you got teams that are dangerous, like Arkansas is, I think, a dangerous team right now, and they just beat LSU, and they've got two guys in Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe that are, you know, they're dangerous, but they're 7-10 in the league. They're 19-11 overall. Where are they on the pecking order? A lot of these teams, though, to your guys' point, Alabama, you know, A&M, some decent teams like Ole Miss, you know, you're gonna have to win this tournament to get in.
Well, the interesting point too, though, is like we talk about what a bad year it is in the SEC, but you look at the bottom of the conference, like Vanderbilt is still entertaining to watch play. Saban Lee has just gone nuts.
Yeah.
As of late, Georgia is a bad team. They're probably going to have the number one pick in the NBA draft.
I'll pay to watch Anthony Edwards in any day.
Absolutely. So it's not like, you know, it's a lack of entertainment in the SEC this year. It's just the quality of competition. You know, there's just not one team that runs away with. I mean, I guess Kentucky, but even them, I think this year has shown to be up and down. How much does Kentucky benefit from having the tournament here? I mean, we know their fans travel everywhere, but there are going to be a ton of Kentucky fans in our city next week. There are already a ton that live here anyway. When Tennessee is good like they were last year, you know, fans travel. Do we expect there to be a ton of Tennessee fans in the house all week long? I don't know. Maybe. I guess if they get hot and go on a run, maybe they beat Auburn coming up this weekend. Yeah, you're gonna come into the tournament with some momentum. But I think we're all pretty comfortable in saying there's going to be a pretty significant home court advantage for Kentucky, specifically when they start playing later in the week.
Been to NCAA tournament sites all over, and I know it's the NCAA tournament versus the conference tournament, but they show up
it's
in
unbelievable.
Droves.
It doesn't matter. It really is.
And look, I mean, the Kentucky fans will tell you, I mean, this is – there are people all over the country who maybe they save up for like a beach trip or whatever vacation, Disney, you know, whatever it is. Like, this is what they do. They've saved up. This is their vacation every year. They go follow – the Cats, wherever the heck they are. They sure as heck will be in Nashville. And, you know, every year they know they're going to have a good team, different levels of that. This is a good team. And in this NCAA tournament field, this team has as good a chance. There's no one out there that I'm like, oh, you just can't beat that team. I guess Kansas is the clear number one right now.
Yeah.
But it's a very wide open NCAA tournament coming up. So they will be, they will absolutely pack the place. Yeah, I don't know on Tennessee. Obviously, last year, That was just a great game and scene, that semifinal. Unbelievable. And just, it was really very, a lot of orange to counter the blue. How much orange will there be? I mean, obviously it's easy for people. There's tons of Tennessee fans around here, but you still have to be willing to pay for the tickets. The tickets aren't cheap. That'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's a huge tournament for the Vols. It's certainly, if they beat Auburn, I think Saturday, I think they come here and they have a chance to get a bid without getting the auto bid. And right now they're looking like they might be around the 8 seed in the SEC tournament, which actually would not be terrible, because then you could get another shot at one of those top teams if you win one game. And that's what you want. You need quality wins. You don't want to like skate to the final on so-so teams. You want to have a chance to beat a really good team, because that's the only way you're getting in. More of those wins.
Florida is really interesting to me because it felt like they were coming on as of late. We all looked at their record about, you know, 3 weeks ago, and we're like, how have they been this bad this year with the talent level that they have? Well, they started to figure it out a little bit and then got beat by Tennessee last week. They, to me, though, are a team where, like, if you're not careful, Florida could absolutely win this tournament next week. No question in my mind about it.
Yeah, no. I mean, Florida is a really hard team to figure out. I mean, gosh, were they preseason top five? They're certainly preseason
top 10. Yeah.
You know, Kerry Blackshear, guy Tennessee went after, you know, transfer from Virginia Tech, didn't get him. Florida got him. He's a heck of a player. You know, they've got a lot of talent. They got some shooters. Scotty Lewis is the huge recruit, and he hasn't been quite the overall, you know, take over a game kind of guy, but he'll make some plays every game. You're like, whoa, okay. I mean, you can see it there. Andrew Nembhard is, you know, a developing sophomore point guard, struggles to shoot at times. I don't know with that team. Like in the Tennessee game, really, it just had these long droughts. You give Tennessee a lot of credit for the way they played defense. They played defense every game, but still, Florida should be better than their record is right now. And you're right. If they get it going, then they can certainly make a run. I mean, it's four teams that are in. They're the fourth. And then your bubble teams are pretty much Mississippi State and South Carolina, by the way, and then Tennessee. And by the way, think about that game at South Carolina.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, that and Auburn and Tennessee is like safe right now.
Yeah.
But just the South Carolina game alone, certainly a game that Tennessee had let it get away, and so that's why South Carolina's profile a little bit better than Tennessee's right now.
What do we think the chances are that when Alabama comes to town next week, Munson is on the first row in a Big Owl costume? Like, that's got to be pretty high, right?
Nah.
Sit next to Matt Jones.
And Matt Jones.
See if your Alabama paraphernalia can outdo his regalia.
I'll be on press row.
He's a professional. He sits on press row.
I'm a professional,
Munson
Joe
is a
Rexford.
Professional.
I am a professional. I will be wearing a button-up, some nice slacks, and some fresh Nikes.
Slacks, huh? Okay.
Oh, yeah, man. Wear some slacks, a button-up, some fresh Nikes, you know?
I do think a little, you know, just like maybe a little Bear Bryant pin or something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's
Munson
that's
was
okay.
Very well-dressed at the Nashville SC game. I can say that I saw him. Personal experience, he looked very professional.
Yeah, Joe saw me, too.
You know, well, if you're going to bring up Nashville SC dressing, Chris Martell in the full suit. I was like, wait a minute, man. What's going on with you?
That's impressive.
It was, because he doesn't wear that to the Preds games.
He does not. Maybe soccer is just the way to go there for him. When we come back, man, it's a disaster in New York. James Dolan, maybe the worst / most entertaining owner in professional sports. Are we thankful we don't have that here in Nashville? I'm sure the fans are. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrow. Nashville is a proud and supportive city with a great willingness to help out when needed, and that's obviously needed right now. Are you looking for ways that you can volunteer or donate? Well, visit thegamenashville.com/NashvilleStrong to find a list of how you can help those that have been affected by the terrible storms we've had in our area earlier this week. We'll be right back with Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.